RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales. Thanks for joining me this week. We're going to hear from Devil's Holiday this time, a series I've only found a couple of episodes on. It aired sometime in 1953, apparently. The story we're going to hear today is titled The Fatal Passion.
A vacation on Earth and meets a client. Shh. Quiet. Here he comes. Now.
Well, here we are again, eh? Drooling at the mouth for your old friend Lucifer to recite to you another's fall from grace? I wonder if you'd recoil if I told you that it's only the evil in mankind that makes your virtue of the slightest consequence. Which is why you should be grateful to such as Matthew Binns. Compare yourself with him and you'll see how good you are, how good you'll always be, until I tempt you as I tempted Matthew Binns. I wonder where you'll be then, eh? Stoking a boiler in my basement, alongside Mr. Binns, no doubt. Oh, yes, it's quite possible. For after all, until he had that dream, Matthew was as eminently respectable as you are. Poor, honest, hard-working, respectable. Matthew worked in the London docks, and in his spare time, did good for his fellows. Oh, yes, it's all in the record. But then he had to go and spoil it all by doing the wrong thing twice. His second mistake was in having that dream. And his first? Well, it's happened to others. It might even have happened to you in your younger and less affluent days. He met a girl. He took lodgings with Mrs. Muzzy, and there he met Lily Alders. Lily Alders, who always wore a pink silk scarf. One might call that scarf a fatal fashion.
And now this blasted government's going to undo all the good Clem Attlee did. Sure, don't mention Churchill to me, Mrs. Bawby.
At least Mr. Churchill and his ministers are gentlemen.
Gentlemen? Two bob a dozen. What this country needs is less politicians with spats on their feet and a few more what will spit on their hands and do some work.
There, there, there. Let that out, Tooley. I'll have no expectorating in my dining room.
Dad, was that your figure of speech like Mrs. Muzzy?
Well, I don't like it.
And no more do I. I think I'll go to my room.
There. Now you're gone and upset Mrs. Bawby. And her a regular payer, too. Not like some I could mention. More coffee, Miss Alders?
What?
Oh, no thanks, Ducks. I'm finished. Excuse me. Got some sewing to do.
Come on, all. Well, anyone would think I asked you for the rent.
What do you think of the political situation, Mr. Binns?
Some other time, Mr. Tooley. I've got some studying to do. Good night, all.
Hey, Lily, wait!
What for?
All them stairs is steep. Hey, Lily, I want to talk to you.
I'm listening, eh, Doc?
Lily, tonight at supper I was watching you when Mrs. Muzzy made that crack about the rent. She meant you, didn't she?
Seems I always owe Mrs. Muzzy back rent. For it cost me to live. I can't even buy a new dress to wear in case I go out with a nice fella.
Well, someday I'd do the work for both of us. If only you'd say you'd...
These steps are breaking me back. And what with all the cooking and cleaning. Oh, hello, it's you two. Thought you was going to do some mending, Miss Alders.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Muzzy. We're just talking. Oh,
someday my heart will stop while I'm climbing these stairs. Who knows it? I have to stop some work. The dressmaking I'd do for ungrateful neighbours, maybe. Or slaving for people what don't pay their rent, maybe. You two are always mooning at each other on the stairs. Why don't you use the sitting room to talk in? Unless you want to be private, of course.
Oh, well, we're ever so happy right here, thanks. Aren't we, Lily?
They've got nothing private to talk about. They're not walking out together, not likely to be.
You could do a lot worse than Mr. Binns, Miss Lily Alders.
Perhaps I could do a lot better, too.
Hey, what do you mean by that, Lily? You've got somebody else around.
I don't need to tell all the affairs to everybody.
You're a nice young fella, Mr. Binns. But look out for the likes of this one. She's only looking for a chap to work for her and pay her bill.
I'll remind you that I'm a guest here, Mrs. Mussey.
A guest? What owes back rent is a doubtful guest.
I haven't forgotten your money, and you'll get it all. And while I think of it, can't they take that wax dummy what you use for dressmaking out of the cupboard in my room? My room ain't a junk room.
Oh, I could make a remark, but I won't. It was shifted before supper, dearie.
She got a cheek. Saying all that in front of you.
Will I see you tonight, Lily, later? We can talk about what to do about everything, eh? What do you say?
Oh, perhaps. You can knock on the wall, and I'll see how I feel about it just then. Besides, might be going out later.
Seeing somebody else?
Perhaps I will. Then again, perhaps I won't. Ain't quite decided.
Oh, you couldn't go out this late, Lily. It wouldn't be respectable.
I said you can knock later. Perhaps I'll have my mind made up by then. Perhaps.
A little faggot if ever I saw one. Matthew Binns went to his room and laid down across the bed. His hands locked under his head, his eyes creating pleasant and then angry patterns on the dingy ceiling. Later, he would knock once on Lily's wall, and if she answered with two raps, he could go to the privacy of her room where they could talk. Perhaps he would tell Lily about his plans tonight, as he would be impressed, all right. And that's when he would insist that she marry him right away. Matthew didn't even dream that Lily would refuse. But Matthew did dream. And that's where he made his second mistake. But that's when I came into the picture. He was a pushover.
And I will be somebody, Lily, with you to help me. Honest, I will. Or I've dreamed and planned on it since I first saw you here at Mrs. Muzzy's. Lily, you will marry me, won't you? No, look, I'm serious, Lily. I mean it. And don't laugh at me like that, Lily.
I'm laughing. But I'm serious too, Mr. Binns. You're handsome and honest, but that ain't everything.
You mean what I said don't mean nothing to you?
Look, Binns, I've got plans too. A certain Mr. Wickham is in charge of our factory. He's had his eye on me for some time, he says. He's got a big job. Just came into a legacy. And he wants to buy me nice things. Now, not later on, like you, see? He's asked me to go away with him. Tonight. And I might, see?
Now, don't talk like that, Lily. It makes me all angry inside.
I'll talk how I feel like talking. This is my room, and if you don't like it, you can get out and stay out. See, Mr. Smarty?
No, you ain't going to send me away. And then go out and see your Mr. Wickham. It ain't right. And I won't let you.
I'll do what I like.
No more you don't, Lily. No more.
I don't like the way you're looking at me, Mr. Pince. And I want you to leave here now.
It's you that ain't leaving here tonight, Lily. Maybe not ever.
Lindsay, get out. Go, Miss Scott. Go.
I'm not letting you go anywhere again, Lily.
It wasn't very clear in Matthew's mind as to what happened later, but he seemed to be in his own room, the door locked, and with him as the body of Lily Aldhurst, the pink scarf still knotted at her throat.
I'll hide her here, in my room. Get rid of her later some way. I've got to hide her coat and hat, and a purse and a suitcase too. It's got to look like she's missing, going away. I could put her and everything into my big trunk. Oh, that's no good. It's too simple. All murderers do that. Why not in here? In the clothes cupboard. It's dark in there. Yeah. She'll be hid there. Back in the dark corner of the clothes cupboard till I can get her out somewhere. There. That's done it. Goodbye, Lily. Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
In the dim light of a thick, foggy morning, Matthew Binns awake. He was still stretched out across the bed, his clothes still on. With a start, he sat up. A vague but sharply pointed remembrance came back.
Lily! Oh, I dreamed it. Or did I? I'm batty. I couldn't have done anything like that to Lily. No, not to Lily, not to my Lily. A bad dream, that's what it was. Just a bad dream.
And then Matthew Binns, without a care in the world, courageously laughed off his bad dream and went down to eat a hearty breakfast. Why will doomed men do that?
There's more kidney, Mrs. Bawby. There's plenty.
Well, no, thanks. I've had sufficient. But I'll have a bit more bacon. It's done just how I like it.
You, Mr. Binns, kidney?
Yes, please.
I say, where's Miss Alders this morning?
I was just wondering that myself. Usually down to breakfast by now.
Ask Binsy. He probably knows why she's late rising.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm too sweet on her. Don't you keep tabs on her comings and goings?
You can mind your own affairs, Alf Tooley. That's what you can do.
You can all shut up your jokes. This ain't no laughing matter. I'll give that girl a piece of my mind when she gets home.
When she gets home? Do you
I went to her room to wake her as usual. But she wasn't there. And the bed ain't been slept in.
Well, I say.
Oh.
Where on earth could she be?
Yes. Oh, I wonder where. Aye, Binsy.
She's done one of two things. Either she's skipped out because of her owing her back rent, or she's deliberately stayed out all night. And either way, I don't approve of that kind of conduct. I runs a respectable place, I does. Doesn't I, Mr. Binns?
Suddenly, the food choked Matthew Binns. Had Lily skipped out, or what? Was she missing, or was she dead? Matthew Binns' brain whirled madly. He left the table and went upstairs. In his room, he eyed the clothes cupboard with fear and panic racing through his insides. Dare he look in that cupboard now? Dare he? What might he find there? Well, Matthew, going to open it?
With
the falling of the curtain on Act One of Devil's Holiday, we pause for a brief announcement. We resume our story with the second act of Devil's Holiday.
Well, now, I suppose you're all wondering if Matthew Binns unlocked the door of the cupboard in which he dreamed he'd hidden the body of Lily Alders. The answer is no. Fearful of what he might find now that Lily had disappeared, he drew back his trembling hand from the door.
No. No, I can't look now. I've got to be at work. I'll be late. No, tonight will be time enough. I'll lock it for now. And, yeah, tonight will be time enough. Tonight.
All that day, while he'd labored on the docks, Matthew Binns' mind was afire with feverish worry. A lead brick rolled about inside his stomach. He came back late to Mrs. Muzzy's boarding house that evening, and without going upstairs, went straight to the dining room, tired and exhausted. Again, the subject of conversation at the supper table was...
Lily Alders. Huh. I looked all through her room today. A little snip went off with everything of any value. A coat and hat, a purse, and that suitcase has gone with her. All she left were them rags of her clothes here. Well, Miss Lily Alders got out on me this time. But I'll fix her. She can depend on that.
Perhaps we ought to wait, Mrs. Muzzy. Perhaps there's some other explanation.
Or maybe she'll get in touch with Binsey later. Or maybe she went off with somebody more attractive. Aye, Binsey?
Now, Tully, you're looking for trouble with me. I warned you this morning.
Here now, you two. Stop it.
You ought to let Mr. Binns alone, Mr. Tully. He's upset.
He's too upset, if you ask me.
He's in love with her. Why shouldn't he be upset?
If you don't stop making accusations at me, I'll close your mouth.
In my house, there'll be no trouble. You hear me? Now, just quiet down, both of you. Just the same, Mr. Binns. Perhaps there is some other fella Lily didn't tell anyone about.
Lily, did... mention a fella last night, Mr. Wickham. She said he's had his eye on me for some time.
Oh, I bet you didn't like that, eh, Binsey?
Would you have liked it if your girl had said it, Mr. Tooley?
To me, girls is like pebbles on the beach.
Mr. Binns, if you do hear from Lily Alders, I expect you to tell me where she might be found. I want the money she owes me, and I intend to get it. So if you find her, tell me.
At last they reached the Brandy and Nuts. We're in the East End, aren't we? At last, Matthew Binns could escape from the group at the supper table. Did he go upstairs? He did not. He went out into the street and gulped in great lungs full of fresh air. For some reason now, he had a horror of going to his room, fearful that his dream wasn't a dream at all, and that he had murdered the Alders. He found himself walking. An hour later, he was back. He had to find out. He had to. He went upstairs and into his room. With sudden decision, he locked his outer door. And then he stood staring at his clothes-covered door. Sooner or later, he would have to look. It might as well be now. Bravely now, he unlocked the door.
She's there. The body. There in my cupboard. Hello? Oh, who is it?
It's only me, Mr. Binns. Sergeant would like to ask you a question or
something. Sergeant? The police. Yes, all right. Just a moment. Come in.
Thank you.
This is him, Sergeant. Mr. Binns. The one that was so friendly like with Lily.
You were talking with Lily Alders out on the landing the night she disappeared, Mr. Binns.
Yeah, I was talking with her. Well, what harm is there in that?
Did she make any statements which might lead you to believe that she was contemplating running away from here?
I don't exactly recall nothing like that, sir.
Have you any idea where she may have gone? She's got to be found. People can't go round doing their landladies out of rent without getting into trouble.
£4.10 she owed me 3 weeks.
Look, I've just remembered, dear. She really gave me some money. She asked me to pay you, Mrs. Muzzy. I forgot to give it to you.
Yeah. Funny you should forget that, Mr. Binns.
Hand it over, Mr. Binns. Ta.
Well, now it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, about Lily running away.
Oh, doesn't it just? I think you paid that money, Mr. Binns, to protect her. She's got to be found to protect others from her. You paid that money out of your own pocket to save her from the law.
Well, why should I do that?
Oh, perhaps Mrs. Muzzy could answer that.
He was moon-eyed about Lily, he was, Sergeant. Fair stuck on it, he was.
Well, I liked her, but what of it? What of it?
Don't be afraid to tell us the truth, Mr. Binns. That's all we want, the truth. So you're in love with her.
I wanted to marry Lily, I did.
Well?
Well, I've been studying hard to get a new position. I thought she'd marry me if I asked her to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, last night it was. I asked her last night.
Well, I never.
Well, go on, Mr. Binns.
I don't know any more.
You haven't told us what Lily said when you asked her to marry you.
She sort of made fun of it right then, but she didn't mean it, I don't think. Not really.
Why not?
I don't know. Perhaps she did mean it.
Another man, perhaps?
Yeah, a Mr. Wickham, the foreman of the factory where she worked. She said he had his eye on her, that he was a gentleman, and he'd come into a legacy. Could buy her things now, not later, like me. He wanted her to go away with him last night. It was. That's likely where she's gone. She laughed at me. She did.
Ah, little flirt she was. Mr. Binns was too good for her.
Now, wait, please. And how did you feel about that, when she laughed?
Well, I was mad, that's all. Well, how would you feel if your girl laughed at your feelings for her? You'd be upset, too, and... Well, that's all I was, I swear.
Now, calm yourself, Mr. Binns. Nobody said...
Well, I didn't kill her, if that's what you're driving at.
I wasn't driving at anything, Mr. Binns. You've been doing all the driving, and I think there's a lot more you could say, if you wanted to. Isn't that so?
I don't know what you mean.
Can I have a look through your house, Mrs. Muzzy?
I don't know no reason why not, sir. Would you like to start in her room?
No, we'll start here, in Mr. Binns's room. We'll start with this clothes cupboard. Mr. Binns has been staring at it constantly. You always keep your clothes cupboard locked, Mr. Binns. Have you got the key? Well?
Here.
Thanks.
Oh, I've got to tell. I can't help it. I thought it was only a bad dream, but it wasn't. I killed Lily Alders, I did. Her body's in there in the back of the cupboard. She's dead. She's dead.
I thought so.
Oh, the Lord have mercy on us. Murder in my house. Oh, that poor dear sweet girl.
Mr. Binns.
Good.
Look in here. Is this the body of Lily Alders?
Yes, that's her. That's Lily. Why? What?
Oh, my stars!
What? It's only a wax dummy.
I guess you did have a bad dream after all. Hey, Mr. Binns.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Binns. I forgot to tell you about that dummy. You see, you got the biggest clothes cupboard in the house, and with Lily making a fuss about me storing it in her room, I thought you wouldn't mind if I stored the mannequin I use for dressmaking in there, out of the way for a day or two. I was sure you wouldn't mind.
No. Oh, Mrs. Muzzy, I don't mind.
Oh, poor fella. He's had a bad scare. He's fainted. No wonder.
Yes. Matthew Binns had mistaken that cold wax dummy for the body of Lily Alders. It was a dark cupboard, a simple mistake to make. So all was well again, and Binns finally realized he had suffered a bad dream. What a thing to happen. Hearts stopped beating over such occurrences. But all was well now, except that Binns took a lot of chaffing from the other lodgers about his dreams, and Lily was still missing. After 2 weeks of it, he told Mrs. Muzzy he'd be leaving that night as quickly as he could. So Binns began his packing. Mrs. Bawby and Alf Tooley dropped in to help and to say goodbye.
Oh, we're going to miss you, Mr. Binns.
Oh, I'll see you as soon as I'm down to earth again.
Oh, Miss, the excitement of you dreaming murders up, Binns.
Now, please don't joke about it.
Let us know where you are when you're settled, won't you, Mr. Binns? We're all ever so fond of you.
Oh, yes, I will.
And if you see Lily, will you tell her, too?
Yes. Help me pull out this trunk, Alf.
Right.
You know, Mr. Binns, you ought to meet my niece, Gladys Beckett. She's a card, she is.
Well, maybe I will later.
Gladys will make you forget, Lily. Rapid life.
I'll get these tools and things in the trunk and I'm all done. Well, up with the lid.
You know, I guess I will miss you. Good Lord! Mrs. Bawby, look what's in the trunk.
Bless my soul! It's Lily Alders.
Oh, dear. Oh, poor old Binsy. What a letdown. He thought it was only a dream, and so it was. Except that after he dreamed he'd murdered Lily, he awoke and went and did it. Awake, he'd been too smart to hide the body in the trunk, because that's what all murderers use. And because he was a murderer too, that's what he unknowingly used when in his sleep he re-hid the body of shabby, pretty Lily Alders. Don't be impatient, Mr. Binns. I'm coming. Why did I do it? Well, don't ask me. I had nothing against the poor fellow. It must be that thing I'm constantly warning you against. That the devil finds work for idle hands to do. Even his own. Going down.
That's our Strange Tale for this week. You can find more from Strange Tales, all of the other Relic Radio podcasts, and our Shoutcast stream at RelicRadio.com. Don't forget to donate while you're there if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. Donate.RelicRadio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Thanks to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back next Sunday with another visit to the Inner Sanctum on our next episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.